Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to the Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Tzvi ben Rav Yosef, as well as for a continued for Shlemim for David Meir ben Mindel. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Ayin Tes. We left off at the very bottom of Ayin Chesem and Beis. The Gemara begins with a very, very fascinating topic of a woman who wants to pull shtick and not allow her husband to be zocha in the fruit of the Nichsei Mulug. What kind of shtick can she do before she gets married to prevent him from having the rights to it? Says the Gemara. Hahi Issa. We're at the words Hahi Issa, three lines from the bottom on Ayin Chesem and Beis. Says the Gemara. Hahi Issa the Bayit Tavichinu L'Nichsa Bigavra. A certain woman wanted to chase her husband away from his rights to the property. Good morning, Avi Yitzchak Yosef Chaim. Welcome on a Friday morning, Rabbi Eliezer Dov. Gershon Eitan Svika. Chanach Chanach Reb Zalman Mordechai and Harav Dov Binyamin Ben Shneir Zalman Dun HaKohen. Here we go. A woman wanted to prevent her husband from having rights to eat the fruit off of her possessions, her Nichsei Mulug. The whole topic of this parak is Nichsei Mulug, which is fields and various things that the woman brings into the marriage that the husband gets to eat the fruit of this. It doesn't get written in the Ksuba. The husband gets to eat the fruit of it. Good morning, Jeremy. So she pulled shtick. Before she got married, meaning while she was engaged, before she got married, she wrote a document and gave as a gift all of her property to her daughter. Ah, great shtick. Gave it over to the daughter. However, she made it clear in that she wants to have her cake and eat it also, that in case she gets divorced, she wants it back. So she told, so that's a question, what did she do exactly? So Rashi writes, she told the Aden that she doesn't mean it as a real matana, just to keep her husband away from it. And we'll discuss in the Gemara how this works. Maybe it's like a matana lizman, or it's a matana al tanai, or it's a matana manas lahachzer, whatever, we'll talk about it in the Gemara. All the other Rishonim, Tosfos, the Ramban, the Ran, all say no. If she says explicitly that she doesn't mean it as a real gift, then it's not a real gift. It's not so much she says it explicitly. Everyone agrees that the daughter would not be koneh this thing. Rather, it means she didn't say anything. That's the Ritva and Tosfos say. Or she said, look, I'm just doing this to get married, but once the marriage ends, I'm going to have it back. So that's a discussion. What exactly did you say? We're going to talk about it in the Gemara later on as well. Says the Gemara, what happened? In Siva Vigarsha. So sure enough, she got married. The husband didn't get to eat it. And then she got divorced. And now she goes to her daughter. She says, no, I only gave it to you to save it from him. I want it back. Asala Kameh Rav Nachman. So she went in front of Rav Nachman. She brought her daughter to a Din Torah. In front of Rav Nachman, she wants the field back. She says, I only gave it to you that he shouldn't get it. And she had given her daughter a star matana. She had given her daughter a star matana, saying that, you know, you own the field. Kare Rav Nachman the shtara. So Rav Nachman ripped up the document because Rav Nachman evaluated the case. She had only meant to give it to her so long as she was married to keep the husband away from it. Now that the marriage is over, she gets it back. Ozal Rav Anan l'kamei demar ukva. Now Rav Anan went to go learn by Rav Ukva. He was the Av Bezdin, and he went to go complain that Rav Nachman ripped up the document. Amale. Chazi mar Nachman chakla'a heichi mikrishtari de'inshe. Look at this country bumpkin, Rav Nachman. Look at this farmer, Rav Nachman. He called the judge, the diet, and I called him a country bumpkin. The guy doesn't even know basic halacha. He's ripping up the document? What do you mean? The guy gave the field over to his daughter as a gift. How's he ripping up the document? Amalei. So Mar Ukva said to Rav Anan, I have a little more faith in Rav Nachman than you do. Emel izi guf dov dehe chavi. Tell me the whole story. Amalei. Hachi vachi have it. This is the story. Amalei, oh, shtar mavrachas ka'amrit. So you mean it was only a document to prevent the husband from having rights? It wasn't a full document? Hachim Rabbi Chaniloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. I have a teaching in the name of the Holy Amor Shmuel. Moira Hora Ani. I know what I'm talking about. I got Rishus from the Reish Galusa to judge. Im Yavo Shtar Mavrachas Liyadi. This is what we call this kind of a document, a Shtar Mavrachas. A document that's only there to chase away the creditor. It's only there to chase away the person who owes the money. Anytime Shtar Mavrachas, Ekra Enu. I rip it up. You're supposed to rip it up because it's not a permanent, it's not meant to be a permanent gift. It's meant to be a temporary gift so long as the husband is in the picture or anyone else is in the picture, any Baal Chov, Ekra Enu. So I'll rip it up. It doesn't become permanently the property of the one who I gave it to. And this Machlok has shown him what exactly was the intention. The Rush says, the intention was to give it over to the person, but the intention was I could back out of the sale at any moment. That's the idea. It's a sale for now, and you get to eat the fruit off of it now. But ultimately, after the marriage is over, I can back out whenever I want, and I can get them, or I could sell them to somebody else. Or if I get divorced, we evaluate, and if I get divorced, we evaluate my das that I would have wanted it back. Even if she doesn't say it. And if she dies, let's say she dies while she's married, the food, the fields would stay by the Mekabah. That's the opinion of the Rush. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says the fruit would be shayach to the woman. And if she dies, b'chaya bala, then and only then, the Mekabah Matana gets the Nechasim. So there's a little discussion of exactly how to do it. But either way, the bottom line is, it works. This kind of a shtar mavrachas works temporarily. It's in the hands of the mekabel matana. But when whatever it ends, so then it's going to go back. It's going to go back to the woman if she gets divorced. It's going to go back to her. We rip up the shtar. She doesn't get to keep it.
Does anyone discuss what would happen if the daughter then were to marry before the mother?
Interesting. I assume once the mother, if the daughter would marry, so then the husband would get to eat the fruit. Yeah. We'd get to eat the fruit. Amli Rav Nachman. Time am I. So Rava said to Rav Nachman, who ripped up the document. How could you rip up the document? I understand. Time am I. Lo shavu kiddush nafshei v'yoyev l'achrine. I get it that Shmuel paskins, that a person who writes all of his nechasim to someone else, so in a temper, and then the reason for the writing it changes. I get it that the person's going to want the property back, but that makes sense where a person writes a document to a complete stranger. But don't you think where a person would write his document over to his daughter that his intention is that his daughter should keep it? A person's not going to get rid of all of his property and give it to a stranger. Wouldn't you assume that since he wrote it to his daughter, that he really meant for his daughter to have, or her daughter to have it always? Says the Gemara. Well, it's true that the choice between giving it to a stranger and to themselves, they want to keep it. And it's true that people generally love their daughters, but they love their daughters up to a point. If a marriage ends and the mom gets divorced, so even if her choice is, should my daughter get to keep all this stuff or do I get to keep it, a person would rather themselves keep it than their daughter. Now the Gemara is going to ask against Shmuel. Shmuel was the teaching that we taught earlier, that a shtar mavrachas. Shmuel said anytime a person writes a document and it's clear that he's writing all of his property, we'll see, Shmuel is going to be talking about where a person wrote all of his property over to somebody else. Meisve, is it really true that Shmuel said that a person gets it back? Let's say a husband wants to make sure that the husband won't have rights to her possessions before the marriage. She writes something called a shtar pasim. What's a shtar pasim? From the language of pius. It's a document where Rashi writes what it means is that she convinces the one accepting the present that she should only accept it to avoid the husband. But if she would get divorced, so she's going to get it back. That's what Rashi says. The Shita Mekubetzus writes the name of Tamina Rabbeinu Yona that she convinces the Mekabel Matana that if she dies in the middle of the marriage, that the Mekabel Matana should give this property over to her inheritors. And he shouldn't keep the Mekabel Matana should not keep them forever. Anyway, either way, says the Gemara, Kosevish Rabbi Al-Chaim, Divi Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So Shimon ben Gamliel says, this star pasim, this fake star, works. But the Chachamim Omrim, no. Ratzah mitzachik ba. A person who writes this kind of star pasim, so the receiver of the gift can say, psych, I'm really keeping the document. I'm keeping the property. You're writing it to me and you convince me, say, oh, it's only a temporary thing. The person could say, sorry, if you don't indicate in the document anywhere that it's temporary, I'm keeping it. Sorry. The Mekabel Matana could make a joke out of it and could pull the wool over the girl's eyes, over the woman's eyes, and keep the field. Unless he writes specifically in the document that it's only going to be on condition that I want this to be a gift, and the second I get divorced, and therefore I can decide it's no longer a gift, then it's over. But now, usually you have machlokas between Rosh Hashanah, Gamliel, Chachamim. We follow Chachamim. That's what the Tosfos Rid says over here. The Gemara is using Chachamim as a kasha against Shmuel. Okay, but you could have used Rosh Hashanah, Gamliel as a riot of Shmuel. Rosh Hashanah, Gamliel said it does work. Chacham say it doesn't work. So what are you asking Kashim Chacham? You could have brought a riot from Shim Gamliel. Tosfos Rid says, okay, but Yachid V'Rab, Malach K'Rab, we generally follow Chachamim. So says the Gemara, Taima de Kasa L'Hachi. The Chacham say such a document only works if you write in the document that it's only on condition that I want it to be, only for a specific amount of time till I say it's over. So, Ha Loi Kasa L'Hachi, Ha Loi Kasa L'Hachi, but if you didn't write that, Kanani, Lokech. So then, the Lokeach gets it. So it's against Shmuel. Shmuel said it doesn't go to the Lokeach. Answers the Gemara, Am Reb Zeira, Loi Kasha. Habakula. So now the Gemara makes a very important distinction. Habakula, Habamiktsasa. When Shmuel said it's not a good sale, it's going to go back, meaning it works. The fake sale works. That it doesn't go to the Mekabel Matana, it comes back to the person. So Shmuel said that that's only in a case where, at this point the Gemara thinks, that's only in a case where you're writing all of your nechasim to somebody else. Shmuel's case is where you're giving over all of your property to somebody else. So there we clearly know that you didn't mean it, and therefore it goes back to you. But b'miktsasa, then we follow chachamim, which is only if you write the specific condition into the shtar, then it's temporary. But if you don't write it in, we don't assume that's what you meant. If it's b'miktsasa, then it's taka remains by the Mekabel Matana. Ask the Gemara. Wait a minute. But let's go back to the case of Shmuel. In the case where the guy writes all of his nechasim to somebody else. Says the Gemara. V'i lo kanani lo keach. But wait a second. If you tell me that Shmuel says it's not a real gift, it's going to go back, so then nikninu baal. So make up your mind over it. This is like the most fundamental question over here. Like, make up your mind. Is it a good sale? Is it not a good sale? If you tell me it's not really a good sale and it's going to go back afterwards, so then why doesn't the husband really acquire it? It doesn't really belong to this Mekabel Matana. It was a fake. If you tell me that Shmuel says it ultimately goes back, so how do you make it avoid the husband? If it's not really a gift, so what is it in the interim? Make up your mind. Says the Gemara, oh, we got to go back to yesterday's daf. Says the Amar Abaye, Asa'um kinechasim she'en yiduin la'baal, v'alim b'de Rebbe Shimon. Remember yesterday the Rebbe Shimon said if the husband doesn't know about stuff that she inherited, he doesn't get to. Rebbe Shimon says by marriage, stuff that the husband doesn't know about, he doesn't get the fruit off of them. He doesn't know about it. So the Gemara is saying now, Abaye says that in the case of where somebody writes a shtar matana to somebody else on the condition just to avoid the husband, it becomes like the same scenario as yesterday's daf of nechasim that the husband doesn't know about. Just like nechasim that he doesn't know about, he doesn't get to eat the fruit off of it. So too, when she writes this kind of a document, the husband doesn't get to eat the fruit of it. And as we have a precedent for this, there's a precedent for there to be property that's quote unquote owned by the woman that the husband has no rights to. So too over here, in a case where you gave the shtar to somebody else, it's as if, because the husband thinks it's really owned by the other person. The husband thinks it really is a good thing. The husband doesn't realize that she only wrote it to him to avoid the husband. So it becomes like property that he does not know about. And it's interesting, there's a machlokas, the Russian Rabbeinu Tam over here. So exactly what's the deal with this? Because according to the simple pshat over here, so that means this should only work by marriage. So the Rishonim talk about, what about a different case, right? I'm about to purchase a field, but I have creditors. Let's say a Baal Chov, not a marriage case, a Baal Chov. So I have a field, and I want this field to not be subject to taking the of my creditors, collecting from it. So I can write it as a gift to somebody else. So that wouldn't work. But then after the creditor dies or whatever it is, I want the field back. So that won't work. So the Rishonim learned that the Din of Ravachas is only by a woman trying. It's a special halacha that only applies by a woman trying to avoid the husband. Because the Gemara says we made it like nechasim that the husband did. That's a special halacha by marriage. But there's a machlokas. What would actually happen? Let's say by a Baal Chov. You have a Baal Chov and you want to write a document as a gift to somebody else that the Baal Chov shouldn't have rights to it. So the Rush says the shtar is batel, which means the gift does not work at all. And Rabbi Natan says, no, you go the other way, that it actually belongs to the person. You can't pull the shtick. It actually belongs to the person who you give it over to. But either way, you can't do this thing where it belongs to them for a little bit of time, then it comes back to you. That you can't do. Oh, it's like Mechiras Chametz, right? It's like Mechiras Chametz, exactly right. So Rav Eliezer Dov is asking, why did the rabbis permit it b'chlal? Why did they allow you to pull this shtick that it can only be a temporary gift for a little bit? Doesn't smell, doesn't pass the smell test. So again, I think Rav Eliezer Dov, that's exactly what the Gemara was asking. How could you have it both ways? The Gemara says, well, you have a precedent that stuff that the husband doesn't know about. But you're right, that requires a little bit more understanding. Like, why did they make this entire takana? The only thing I can answer you, Rav Eliezer Dov, is that this whole din that the husband gets to eat the fruit off of her possessions, it's not necessarily something that the Chacham felt had to happen. It was tiknu peros takas pirkudah, but if she could create a legal fiction, then he shouldn't get to eat them. At the end of the day, it's really her stuff. But there's a takana that while they're married, so you're saying it's not good for the marriage. I hear that. Okay, let's continue. Next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, naflu lach. Now, this Mishnah is going to discuss. So we know, Rabosai, when the woman inherits property, so then the husband gets to eat the fruit off of it while they're married, right? That's the halach of nichsei mulug. But the question is, what about if the woman inherits other stuff? How does the husband get to eat the fruit off of it? What's the halachos of the husband getting to eat the fruit of it? And where's Dr. Joe today? Anybody know?
He's grandkids swimming.
Oh, okay. Good, he's being a good Zaidi. Nafluloch Safim. He'll have to listen to the recording. He should know that we asked for him. Nafluloch Safim. Let's say the woman inherits money. Yilachim and Kakuul Chopers. Take the money, buy property, and he gets to eat the fruit off the property. That's going to be the general rule. The chiddush is the husband can't say, I want you to leave the money and let me invest it in real estate. So we can't do that. We buy property, and because we're afraid maybe he'll lose all the money. So we buy property. This way we know the woman is going to be left with karka at the end of this marriage. The woman gets karka, and he gets to eat the fruit off the karka. Peros hatlushim in a karka. If she inherits during the marriage, just fruit, not property, just fruit. So what do you do? Same thing. Yilachim in karka v'ochel peros. Sell the fruit. Take the money, buy a property, and he gets to eat the fruit off the property. Because he doesn't own the fruit, he just eats the fruit of the fruit. So how do you get the fruit of the fruit? You sell the fruit, buy a property, and he gets to eat the fruit off the fruit of the fruit. Okay. Peres habukubar mekaka. Let's say she inherits fruit that's attached to the ground. But not the ground. So she inherited fruit attached to the ground, but she didn't inherit the ground. She only has rights to the fruit that's attached to the ground. So what do you do there? You can't sell them. This is what you do. So, I'm a Rabbi Meir. Shaman osa kami yafa beperos, kami yafa below peros. We evaluate this piece of property. How much is it worth with the fruit, and how much it's worth without the fruit? Umosar, and the difference is the value of the fruit. So you take that amount of money, and she has to take that amount of money against the fruit. She takes the money against the fruit, that amount. That's the opinion of Tanakama. That's Rav Meir. The Chachamim Omrim. Hamukhubarim Lakarka Shalom. No, he just gets the fruit directly. But Vatslushim in Akarka, but if the fruit was detached from the ground, then Shalom. And therefore, V'ilachim in Karka V'ulchol Peros. The Gemara is going to discuss this Machlokas. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Shimon is not really saying anything different. The Gemara is going to ask, how's he arguing? Let's first see what he says. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Makom Shiyafa Kocho B'Knisasa Hura Kocho B'Tziyasa. By the type of stuff that he has rights to it on the way into the marriage, she gets rights on the way out of the marriage. Umakam shehura kocha b'knisasa, in a place where he does not have rights on the way into the marriage, yafa kofu kocha b'yitziyasa. So on the way out of the marriage, he does have rights. Ketzad, what is this talking about? Peros hamechubar l'karka b'knisasa, fruit that is attached to the ground, that she inherits, that fruit that's attached to the ground. And now she's going to get married and she owns these fruits attached to the ground. So shalom. Sounds like chachamim, right? Shalom. So the Gemara is going to ask, Rabbi Shimon sounds exactly chachamim. He owns them. B'yitziyasa, however, fruit that's attached to the ground, when he divorces her, shalom. So she gets them. V'atlushim v'akarka, but the fruit that's detached to the ground, b'knisasa, shalom. She owns the karka and he gets to eat the bit, right? You have to sell them. Obitziyasa, however, fruit that is detached from the ground when he divorces her, so they belong to him because they grew during the marriage, so they're his. Says the Gemara. Pshita Ara Ubate. Says the Gemara. It is obvious. The question is, what should they buy with this money? Right? She inherits the money. So let's say one of them wants to buy land and one of them wants to buy real estate. Pshita, ara ubate, ara. You have to buy land because there's more of a chance that the land will be left afterwards. I'm sorry. The Gemara assumes that the profit made off land is more and it's going to last. It's going to last more than the house. Why is that? I think it just means that it's going to make more profit. Right.
It's make more profit or last longer?
And it's going to last longer. And the land will last longer than the house. I guess after 50 years, the house will become dilapidated, but the land ain't going to change. Still going to be making the same fruit. So if there's a choice between ara, bate, ara. Bate v'dikle, a choice between buying houses or date palm trees. So then bate, that's going to last longer than the date palm tree. It's not going to dry out. Dikle v'ilane, date palms versus other trees, dikle, they produce more. Ilane v'gufne, other trees versus vines, ilane are stronger, they're going to last longer than the vines. The key point here is that when the marriage ends, we want the woman to walk away with something. There should be a keren, a guf, and a peros. That's the key. Abba zardasa, a type of tree that's used only for wood. Upero de cavre, or a fish pond. Amrila, pair of Amrila karna. So, some say the fish are better, and some say the... hold on one second. Abazar de sa upera de cavre. It's amrila pera. Some say these things. Some say they have the status of fruit, and therefore you have to... they belong to the husband. Ami la karna. No, some say that they are considered like a karen because they're gonna be used up, and therefore you have to sell them and buy karka. Right. So that's a machlokus. Do these things have a status of peiros and the husband gets to own them right away, or no? That that they're considered to be karen, and therefore you sell them, buy karka, and the husband gets to eat the fruit. Klala de milsa. What's the rule here? Gizo machlif. If it's going to be completely used up, I'm sorry, the opposite. If you assume it's going to grow back, then peira. So then it has status of peiros. The husband gets to own it. Ein gizo machle. But if it's going to become completely used up, then it's considered like keren, and then you have to sell it and buy property so that it won't be completely used up. Right? If it'll reconstitute itself, then it's called peiros. It keeps on reconstituting itself. So the husband gets everything. And then when they get divorced, she's going to get it. But if it's going to be something that's going to end, so then you have to sell it and buy kaka, so that won't end. That's the key point. Says the Gemara. It's a little counterintuitive. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Oshi, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar La, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Oshi, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Hagonev Vlad Behemas Malud. Let's say somebody steals the offspring of an animal of Malug. Misham Teshlumi Kefa Leisha. So right, you have an animal of Malug that she inherited, and then that animal gives birth to a baby, and someone steals it. So who gets the kefil? So Misham Teshlumi Kefa Leisha. Even though the animal is shayach to the husband, but the Vlad Behemas Malug is considered like a Karen and not Peros. Ask the Gemara, who's this going like? Makes no sense. Says the Gemara, Kiman, lo kerabana v'lo kechananya. This is going like nobody. Decide you learned in a brisa, Vlad Behemas Malug, Labal, the husband owns it. Vlad Shifchas Malug, Leisha. But a baby Shifcha, that belongs to the woman. We'll see why in a minute. What's the difference? V'chanani benachi Yoshia Amar, osu Vlad Shifchas Malug, ki Vlad Behemas Malug. No, just like the Vlad of the Behema belongs to the husband, so to the Vlad of the Shifcha belongs to the husband. We're not afraid maybe the mom will die. That's the question. Are we worried maybe the mom will die? So whether the Chacham or Chananya, Vlad Behemas Malug belongs to the husband. So how could Rabbi Yanai say that the Vlad belongs to the woman? Answers the Gemara, Afilu Tema Divrei Akol. No, Rabbi Yanai could really hold like both of these opinions. Nevertheless, the Tashluma goes to the woman. Why? Peira Takinale Rabbana. Peira de Peira Lo Takinale Rabbana. The husband only has the rights to the Nichsei Malug themselves, to the peiros of the Nichsei Malug themselves. But peiros of the peiros, kefel, is a peiros payment on the peiros that the husband does not have a right to, that the owner of the keren has a right to. It's peira de peiri. So peira de peiri, that belongs to the woman. Now, what's the logic of it? So bishlam al chananya, hanidul chashin lemisa. So what did Chananya say? Chananya said that in both cases, that Vlad Shifcha, that the husband gets the children of the animal, and the husband gets the children of the Shifcha, because lo chayshin lemisa. We're not worried that mommy's going to die and then the woman's going to be left with nothing. We're not worried about that. Ella, Rabbanon, make up your mind. What's the difference? Why do the Chacham say that when it comes to a Vlad Behema, goes to the husband, but a Vlad Shifcha stays with the woman? Make up your mind. If you're worried the mom's going to die, why aren't you worried that the mommy Behema is going to die also? Answers the Gemara, La'olam, Chai Shilamisa. No, really, he is worried about death. And that's why when it comes to a Shifcha, the woman gets to keep the child of the Shifcha. Shani Behema de'ika oira. But even if the mommy animal dies, the woman will still have something from the animal. What will she have? The skins. She still has the skins. Amar Rav Huna bar Chiya bar Shmuel, halacha kechananya. The halacha is like Hanani that we are not worried about Misa, and both the children of the animals and the children of the Shifchas go to the husband. Amar Rav Nachman, avagav namar Shmuel halacha kechananya. Even though Shmuel's halacha kechananya, moide Hananya, she'im nisgarsha, Hananya admits that if the woman brings Shifchas into the marriage and they have kids, niskarsha, if someone gets divorced, noisen is damim v'notlasan. She's allowed to, she has the rights to pay to get the shivcha back. Why? Bepnei shevach beis avia. Wow. Very interesting svara the Gemara says over here. What does it mean, shevach beis avia? That somehow that this shivcha family came from her home, she inherited them, it's her family, her shivchas. She has a right to pay to get them back. It's somehow the glory, it's the glory of her house to have these shivchas, and therefore she has the rights to buy them back. So says Rashi in the Rama. It's only by shivcha, but by behema, there is no din of shevach beis avia. However, according to the Rush and the Ra'ah, the Tur, even by Vlad behema, this shevach beis avia, she has the rights to buy them back also. Now, if the woman brings into the marriage stuff that maybe it's going to get used up. So we said the husband does not get to eat the fruit off them. The question is, how much has to be left over in order for it to be considered that the woman owns these things? Amar Rav Nachman, Hechnisa lo, Amar Rav Nachman, Hechnisa lo, Eiz. Let's say she brings a goat, lechelba, for the milk, rachel legizasa, or a ewe, E-W-E, a female sheep, for the shearings, tanagolas lebeitzasa, or tanagolas for the eggs, dekala peirosa, a date palm tree for the fruit, ocha v'holechad shetichla karen. The halach is the husband can eat all the stuff off of it until it dies or dries out. Because the woman will still have the skin. I'm Rav Nachman. Ailele glima. Let's say the woman brings clothing into the marriage. Perahave. The husband gets to wear the clothing. Mechasibiv azal adakalia. And the husband gets to eat it, gets to wear this clothing until it gets worn out. And then the worn out, tattered shmatas go back to the woman. It's good. It says more. Come on, who's this going? Like, Kihaitan, like the following time, decided to the Brisa, Hamelach. Let's say you have like salt that's from dried up ocean water, Vahachol or sand, Hareze Peros, because it's always going to have more salt, always going to have more sand. Pir Shel Gufris, a mine of Gufris. What's Gufris? Also a type of salt. What do you have?
Sulfur.
Sulfur, thank you. Machporis Shel Tzrif, or a place that we dig. Srif, what is that? What's Srif there, Yitzhak? What? Alum. Oh yeah, aluminum. Like a mine, where they mine alum. Rabbi Meir Omer, Karen. It's considered like Karen because it's going to get used up. Chacham Omer Peros, no, it's not going to get used up. There's enough, there's always going to be a little bit left. Then we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Malkum Shiofa Kofo Bechnisasa. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon, Hayna Tanakama. It's the same opinion as Chachamim. Amarava, what's the difference? Mechubarin b'shas yitzia. No. There's machlokas. What about fruit that's attached to the ground at the time of the divorce? Tanakama never spoke about that. Tanakama holds that fruit that's attached to the ground at the time of the divorce, he gets them. Rabbi Shimon says no, that she gets them. New Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Naflula avadim ushvachos zekenim. Now let's say she inherits old avadim ushvachos. They're old. They can't do too much. The husband says, I want to sell these old shvachos and buy young ones that could actually do something. Yimachri b'lachim b'mkarka b'ochal peres. Sell them, buy kark, and he gets to eat the peres. Arshim gamliel omer, lo simkar, b'nei shein shvach b'savia. What do you mean? These are her avadim. If the woman wants not to sell them, she's allowed to keep them. Naflu la zesim ugfanim zakenim, elderly zesim ugfanim, old trees that they're not going to produce much. Sell them, buy kaka, and let him eat the fruit off them. Younger, buy younger trees. This is my tree that I've had my whole life. The woman could prevent the selling. It says the Gemara. Amrav Kan, Amrav Machlokes Shnaflu Besada Shalah. The Machlokes about selling old vines and old olive trees is that she owns the land. Aval Besada Sheina Shalah. If she only inherited the trees and not the land, Divrei Hakol Timkar. Everyone agrees that the husband has the rights to. If the husband wants to sell it, he could sell it. The wife cannot prevent. If she doesn't own the land, the tree could dry out, and then she gets nothing. Masna of Yosef. The same machlokes applies to avodim mushvachos. It's the same thing as the sada sheina shalah. What happens when they die? She's not going to get anything, and yet this machlokas says, "Ma, you're right." Eli and Marhochi, right? This is what I meant to say. Amar of Kahana, Amar Rav, machlokas besada she'ena shela. The machlokas that the Kamar Yehud is only by the trees in a field that she does not own. Aval besada shela, but in a field that she does own, divrei hakol lo simkar. Everyone agrees that she can prevent the sale mipnei shevach pesavia, because if she owns the field, so this is her field, her old field, she could prevent the husband from selling them at all. We will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. A great Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, I'm not going to say this year in person, but I will say it on Zoom. Motzei Shabbos. Shir on Zoom, Motzei Shabbos.
Rabbi, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Great Shabbos.
You know, that's officially negative in the club.